Thanks for tuning into the ES First podcast. We'd love to connect with you on Facebook, Instagram, or Twitter. So take a minute to hop on over and give us a like or a follow. And of course, if you're ever in Excelsior Springs, stop on by. We can't wait to welcome you home.
A few things I want to go over. First of all, and that is the question that some people ask, how do you know when you're being led by the Spirit? Did you ever ask that question? How do you know when you're being led by the Spirit? And being led by the Spirit is a major characteristic of all believers. Did you know that if you're a believer today, you're being led by the Spirit? Think about that. It's a characteristic of all believers. And we should follow the leading of the Lord as He speaks to us. And we should follow Him in His leading immediately. Say immediately. That's my message today. Romans chapter 8 and verse number 14 from the King James Version says, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God." Being led by the Spirit is simply a practical part of living the Christian life. And we need to learn how to do that immediately. So it's part of what you get when you get Jesus. And I really like John chapter 10 and verse number 27 and 28. And I like to mention that being led by the Spirit is supernatural. That's what supernatural is, really. It's supernatural. God made us in such a way to communicate with us, be part of our life, and to lead us and guide us. John chapter 10, verse 27 and 28. We ask this question, well, how do you know when you're being led by the Spirit? How can I know when God is speaking to me? Well, John 10, 27 says, "My sheep recognize my voice." And so as we learn to recognize His voice, He says, "I know them, and they follow me," or I lead them and they are led by me. "I give them real and eternal life. They are protected from the destroyer for good." We're going to talk a little bit about that in the next few weeks too, about being protected from the destroyer for good. And no one can steal them from out of my hand. The good thing about understanding how to follow the Lord and listen to His voice is this, is that when you follow His voice and when you let Him lead you and you recognize it as such and you know His voice, "My sheep know my voice," hello, and when you get that knowledge going in your head and that realization going in your life, then you can recognize when another voice is trying to lead you. I think it's important to recognize the leading of the Lord, and it's important for us to recognize that can't be God. See what I'm saying? And so this is a very important thing. I think that recognizing the leading of the Holy Spirit is probably without a doubt one of our greatest assets. And somebody talked to me years ago about leading by the Spirit, and I said, I think that's probably the greatest thing I treasure more than anything is being led by the Spirit, letting the Lord lead us and letting the Lord guide us. It's a wonderful thing. And so I'm going to talk a little bit about some leading of the Lord in my life. I could go on and on and on and on and stand up here for about, maybe 7 or 8 years and just talk nonstop about the leading of the Lord, because it happens every day. I mean, it's just so natural. If you know, and when you put a premium on that, then it becomes so encouraging for you to know that God's doing a work in your life and that this didn't just happen by accident. And so I could go on and on and on, but I want to give you a couple instances that we travel this United States and all over the world as an evangelist for about 10 years. Not a lot of places all over the world, but several different countries we went to. My wife, you know, I went to Haiti, West Indies, kind of one of the nastiest, ugliest, poorest nations in the world. My wife was scheduled to go with me, and then her good friend, who is a great missionary, said, why don't you go with me? And I said, you mean I got to go to Haiti alone? Yeah, she says, I got to go to England. You know, England swings like a pendulum do. So off she went to England, and I went to Haiti and walked in the stuff. But anyhow, about 10 years ago, we were traveling, and one night about 10 o'clock in the middle of the night down in North Carolina, we were just veering, going from one church service to the next, and we had a two-door Ford and five people. I mean, you know, that's real comfortable. There were times when we'd stop at a rest stop, my wife would crawl down underneath the car and rest and pray that we didn't start up before she woke up. But anyhow, two-door Ford and five people. We had a rule when we went on the road. I said, here's the rule. If your back hurts, your knees hurt, your neck hurts, your arm hurts, you don't say it, you don't complain, because complaining is contagious. Did you know that? And just as complaining is contagious, so talking about the good things of the Lord is contagious. So we were pulling a two-wheel trailer. In that two-wheel trailer, we had all of our musical instruments and all of our personal belongings in there, driving along at 70 miles an hour. All of a sudden, right out in the middle of nowhere here in North Carolina, I felt like slowing down. I don't slow down very often, in case you didn't know. But I slowed it down to about 10 miles an hour, right out in the middle of nowhere. And all of a sudden, right there, just about a half a mile in front of us, I hit absolute black ice. You know what black ice is? You can't even see it. And I thought that was the Lord speaking to me. He says, slow down a little bit. Usually my wife tells me that. God told me that this time. Out in the middle of nowhere. Completely, it wasn't dumb luck. I don't think it was dumb luck. I think it was that I was used to hearing the voice of the Lord and immediately doing what God say do. And so I know that you are in the same position. God speaks through all of us. It's the voice of the Holy Spirit immediately. Say immediately. We drove on the black ice. Another time I was driving in the mountains of Tennessee. Sound like I like the South, I guess. But driving in Tennessee, we had left South San Francisco. Really crazy in those days. We closed out a revival in South San Francisco, and you know where my next one was scheduled to start 3 days later? Atlanta, Georgia. Wasn't that stupid? But I just went like crazy driving all over the place. And same LTD Ford, same 70 miles an hour, heading up the Smoky Mountains, going up the side, getting ready to go up the side of the mountain. I passed a restaurant on the right side. I can still picture it today, and that's been quite a number of years ago. And that sign said Kentucky Fried Chicken, and it was the real stuff. It wasn't Kentucky Fried, it was Tennessee Fried Chicken, I guess. I said to the kids, I said, why don't we turn anybody hungry for fried chicken? Now, you understand, when we were on the road, we had no credit cards. We had no money. We just went from service to service. And sometimes what we would do for breakfast, there was five of us. And we would go in and we would order an order of bacon and eggs, two eggs and bacon and hash browns, and split it. It's like, what are you doing with an egg? Can you imagine splitting eggs in half and dividing eggs up? Isn't that cool? So we saw that fried chicken sign. I said, I think I'm going to stop there. Wasn't time for dinner. We stopped there, and as we were sitting there eating, the lady said to us, I see you're traveling. She said, yeah, what's your plans? I said, well, I'm going up over the mountain there, heading up over the Smoky Mountains, and we're getting ready to go on down to Atlanta, Georgia. We're going to hold a revival service there. And the lady said to me, she said, well, you don't want to go up over that hill right there. She said, if you turn around and you go back down about 6 or 8 miles down the highway here, you'll find a bridge that goes across the big river there. And when you go, if you'll take that bridge and go across the river, you'll find a brand new highway that doesn't have all those big high mountains and stuff. It's not even on the map. And so immediately I thought, I'm going to follow the Lord on this one. Hello? Chicken was good. I guess her directions would be good. So I turned around and immediately, and we started to head back down to that bridge. And I'll never forget it. I don't even remember what the river was, but a big old bridge in that river. And as we began to cross that bridge on that river, the tongue on our trailer broke. And it's just like a donkey sitting down. It just sat right down the back end of it. You know, it was still connected to the car, and here I was dragging this, and my trailer was dragging along behind. You ever had anybody had to drag along behind a trailer? Now, can you imagine? I've thought about this for years. What would have happened if I would have taken that trailer and headed up over that Smoky Mountains with that trailer? What would have happened there? And so we pulled over, got over. We got it finally to the end of the bridge there. I pulled it over, set it on the side of the road. I got out, and I started walking. And I walked 2 or 3 miles or so down, went west on that highway, that brand new highway. And there was a little like a 7-Eleven type of store there. I went in, I said, "Do you know anybody around here that can do any welding?" And she said to me, never forget it, it just, she said, "Well, yeah, there's a, if you go back down up the highway here about 2.5 miles, there's a bridge there." And she said, "Right at the end of that bridge, there's a little lane. And you see that little lane going down there. And right at the end of that lane, just a block or two down that lane, there's one of the best welding shops in Tennessee." And I think the leading of the Lord is pretty cool. How about you? So I went down there and about 100 yards, drove it down there. And they said, "Well, we'll work on the trailer. You leave it here tonight. We'll work on it. We'll have it ready for you in the morning. You go on into town." So we went on into town, and we felt like we were being led by the Lord. When we got there, they were having a Golden Gloves fight tournament. How many of you know that is cool, except for one thing? In a small city like that, there's not a motel room in the city because they're having all these big Golden Gloves fights. And so I went up, and as I was standing there, just like it was yesterday, I was standing there at the counter, and the lady said to me, "There's not a room in this city. We've got a Golden Gloves tournament, and there's no way that you're going to be able to find any kind of housing." And about that time, the manager walked over, and he said, "Hi, sir, how you doing?" Like it was my old friend or something. "How's things going in your life?" "Going good." He reached over her shoulder, pulled a card out, and took a reservation, tore it all up, and she handed it, and she said, "Give them that room." It was one of these big suites. And so I looked at it. Well, immediately I said, "That's got to be God. Hello." Well, the guy next to me just walked up and he said, "I have a reservation and my name is such and such." And the lady said, "There's no name in here with that kind of reservation." I thought, "Uh-oh, I better get out of here. It's Golden Gloves tournament." And so, sure enough, she said, "No, there's something wrong. We don't have any kind of reservation for you." Well, we enjoyed that particular Golden Gloves. Got up in the morning. We went pick up the trailer. And the man said to me, "I just finished her. I just got her done. I've been working all night on it." And I thought, "Oh, boy, how much is this?" About $80 an hour or whatever it was. And he said, "Yeah, been working all night on it." And he said, "The good news is I got her done. The bad news is you needed a whole new frame." I said, "Well, cool." And he said, "I worked all night on it." And he says, "You're ready to go." He said, I had a frame over here, and I just took the old one off and put the new one on, and you're ready to go. And I said, "Well, how much is that going to be?" And he said, "Well, Pastor or Reverend," he said, "why don't you just give me a $50 bill, and we'll call it even." I said, immediately, "That's got to be God." Amen? So we need to know that God is leading our life all the time, and he wants us to give him some credit for it and recognize it. And when we start doing that, we're going to find that things are going to be happening around us like you wonder how all these things are happening. Being led by the Spirit is simply a practical part of our spiritual living. We would go into a restaurant, and sometimes we'd even go so far as to get set down, and the Spirit would speak to me and say, "Don't eat here." You know? Now, sometimes because it smelled like turkey yard, and other times it just, you know what I'm saying? But the Spirit of the Lord would lead you in such a way as let you know where to stop and eat. And we walk in, I say to the family, and I'll still do it today. Those of my staff, they know what I'm talking about. All of a sudden, I'll say, no, we're not eating in this place. It's because the Spirit is leading us not to eat there. And we go somewhere, it's cheaper, it's better, it's nice, you know, and there's no calories in it. So, we did things like motel. What motel? See, when you're traveling and you don't have any place to live, you're in a different motel and you're in a different town and you're in a different restaurant, you don't know where to stop, you don't know where to get to the motel. You got to be led by the Spirit, right? And many times we just walk in and I could tell you story after story of God blessing us with motels. We got so, we'd drive down the road and the kids would say, hey, Dad, is the Spirit leading us to this one or is the Spirit leading us to that one? And my kids got real good at it. And my two older sons that are in the ministry up in Iowa, and they would say to us, you know, this big high-rise right on the ocean. They said, there's the one I think God wants us to have, Dad. And sure enough, the Lord would lead us right to that particular one. It's amazing how God would do it. But you see, it's just the practical walk of a Christian's life. It's your walk, it's my walk, and we need to recognize the leading of the Lord, how important it is. And so, in the Bible, sometimes it's easy to recognize the leading of the Lord, and sometimes it's not. We find Samuel chapter 3, verses 1 through 11. A boy named Samuel was serving God under Eli's direction. This was at a time when the revelation of God was rarely heard or seen. One night, Eli was sound asleep. His eyesight was bad. He could hardly see. It was well before dawn. The sanctuary lamp was still burning. In other words, he fell asleep in church. You ever do that? One time I was preaching away like this, just preaching my heart out, and I looked out, and there were seven families sound asleep. I thought, man, this must really be a good sermon. I'd rather have you sleep than awake anyway, because I can get to your subconscious. And old Rex Heslop and his wife Peggy, they sitting right on the back row back there. And boy, when they sleep as a family, they do it with music. Hello. And boy, he's sitting here like this, and she's all sprawled out, and she just seeing, and they're giving it the works. And I think, boy, praise God, this is a great service today. And what was his name? You probably remember him. You never heard of him before. Anyhow, he was a goofy old guy. And he sat right down in the front about where Tony is, and he slept through almost every service. And dear old brother, what's his name, was sitting on the back. Brother Lyle Hoyle was sitting on the back, and this guy was sitting in the front. And when I got about halfway down, everybody was noticing there was really a dry sermon, kind of, you know. And so Charlie, that's Charlie Miskey. Charlie's dead now. But anyhow, old Charlie was sitting over there. He was sound asleep, man. He was just, you know, like this. And Rex and Peggy was back there sound asleep. Lyle Hoyle, he slept through every service. We didn't care about Lyle Hoyle sleeping. That's right. He was the richest guy in town. He was a rich farmer. He always gave a lot of money. And sleep all you want, man. We love you in Jesus' name, you know. Can we rub your feet or something? We don't care. Oh, boy, it was a good old Lyle Hall. Maybe he'll come visit us one day. He used to be one of my deacons. Well, he said, whatever you want, Pastor, just go get it. We'll pay for it. That's the kind of deacon I like, amen? And so Charlie was sitting over there sleeping. Now, this is goofy Charlie, you know? He looked goofy. He acted goofy. He was goofy. He was weird. He was a strange guy, and he was sitting there sound asleep. And so I'm up there just preaching my heart out, and I said, hey, Charlie, would you just stand and open the service in prayer? And old Charlie stood up and he started praying, and the congregation went nuts. You know, the service was half over. So Eli fell asleep at church, and Samuel was a little guy Samuel heard God speaking, say, Samuel, Samuel, Samuel. Do you know God knows your name? He knows where you live. He knows what you have need of. And so Samuel got up and he ran to Eli and says, what do you want? And Eli says, leave it alone. I'm sleeping. And he said, well, I thought you called me. He said, no, I didn't. Three times that happened to Samuel. And finally, Eli said to Samuel, maybe it's God. I don't know. Go back. I'm sleeping. And so the next time God spoke out and he said, Samuel, Samuel. And Samuel said, speak. for I'm your servant and I'm ready to listen. See, immediately, that's what we need to learn how to do, is notice when God is leading us and guiding us. Sometimes it's easy to recognize it, and sometimes it's not so easy. And sometimes the leading of the Lord happens under the strangest of circumstances. When you don't expect to be led by the Lord, he'll use a strange circumstance or a strange individual or a strange happening to lead you and to guide you. Moses was shepherding the flock, Exodus says, of Jethro, his father-in-law. How many of you know it's nice to have a good relationship with your father-in-law? The angel of the Lord appeared to him in flames of fire blazing out of the middle of a bush. Sometimes the Lord will speak to us through the strangest, craziest places. And Moses said in verse 3, what's going on here? I can't believe this. Amazing. Why doesn't that bush burn up? And it took Moses a bit to realize that God was speaking to him out of that strange circumstance. And a lot of times God will take strange circumstances. And finally Moses said, well, if I go back into Egypt and try to lead them, who do I say sent me? God said to Moses, I am who I am. Tell them the people, the I am sent me. And immediately he realized the leading of the Lord, and he went back to Egypt and led the children of Israel out. Sometimes the leading of the Holy Spirit reveals itself during church services. I think that happens a lot if you don't fall asleep. Amen? And so here in the church service in Acts chapter 13 at Antioch, they had a bunch of high-rolling preachers, pastors, and Barnabas and Simon and nicknamed Niger and Lucius of Cyrene, Manian, and he was an advisor to the ruler of Herod, to Saul. And one day as they were worshiping God, they were having this great worship service, and they were also fasting, and they were waiting on the Lord for guidance like we did in our week of encouragement here. And the Holy Spirit spoke. And it said through one of the people there, take Barnabas and Saul and commission them for the work that I have called them to. And we know that they, Paul and Barnabas were ordained that day to go out as missionaries. They started the missionary journeys of Paul, as we know them. There's three great missionary journeys. Sometimes the leading of the Holy Spirit reveals itself during church services. I think that's probably one of the greatest places to be led by the Spirit, if you're in the right church. Sometimes the experience is quite abnormal. And this one in Numbers chapter 2 was really abnormal. A guy by the name of Balaam got up in the morning, he saddled his donkey, went off with a nobleman from Moab, and as he was going, anger flared. The angel of the Lord stood in front of the donkey to block his way. Balaam was riding his donkey accompanied by two servants. When the donkey saw the angel blocking the road, brandishing a sword, she veered off the road into the ditch. The moral of this story, don't ride a female donkey. Get a male. Female donkeys are nuts. Balaam beat the donkey and got her, back on the road. But as they were going through a vineyard with a fence on either side, that donkey saw the angel again, blocked the way, veered into the fence, crushing Balaam's foot against the fence. Balaam hit her again. God's angel blocked the way the third time in a very narrow passage. And no getting through on the right or the left. Seeing the angel, Balaam's donkey sat down under him. Balaam lost his temper, and he started beating the donkey with a stick. And then God gave speech to the donkey. I can just see. She said to Balaam, can you imagine that donkey turning his head around, getting a stick? What have I ever done to you that you have to beat me these three times? Hello. Sometimes your experiences of being led by the Lord are crazy. They're just crazy. Well, seeing the angel, then God, what have I ever done to you? You think it's crazy to have a talking donkey? You think that's a crazy situation to realize you're being led by the Lord? What's even crazier is when you find yourself talking to the donkey. I can imagine, leading of the Lord sometimes is quite abnormal. Balaam said, because you've been playing games with me, buddy, lady. If I had a sword, I'd kill you right now. And the donkey said to Balaam, bad attitude there, Balaam. I've been your donkey, sweetheart, on whom you've ridden for years right up till now. Have I ever done anything like this before? No. Then God helped Balaam see what was going on. He saw God's angel blocking the way and brandishing a sword. Balaam fell to the ground immediately when he realized it was God. Immediately. See, that's my message this morning. Learn how to follow the Lord immediately. Have you ever had somebody say, you know, I was careening down that road, and if I had something hadn't happened to me, I hadn't stopped by a big accident up there, I'd have been right in the middle of all that. We've all had that kind of stuff, haven't we, right? Right? Cool. Immediately. Well, sometimes you might think this situation is too crazy to believe. And that's what happened to John the Baptist. It was a crazy deal for John the Baptist. John told the story about it, and he said, I didn't know who Jesus, the Messiah, even was. Well, it was his cousin. They played video games together. I bet, you know, Jesus, having working in the carpenter shop, I bet he had some puzzles that, I don't know. John the Baptist says, I didn't have a clue who the Messiah was. I know that God told me I was to be the forerunner, and I was to wear this stupid camel hair thing and eat locusts and wild honey, and I obeyed all that. But I didn't have a clue who this Jesus, the Messiah, was going to be, who the Messiah was going to be. And in 1 John, or in John, I believe it's chapter 1 or chapter 2, I think it's chapter 1, John the Baptist said, I didn't know who it was. But he that sent me to baptize, the Father, he that sent me to baptize with water said to me, upon whom you see the Spirit descending like a dove coming from way up there, that's him. That's a phenomenon. That's something that is too crazy to believe. Doves don't operate like that. Sounds crazy. But I'm here to tell you something. Sometimes the leading of the Lord just sounds crazy. You know, he wants to give you the desires of your heart. You know, he wants to take you where you want to go. You know that he has great plans for you to bless you and not to harm you. Did you know the Lord has steps for you to follow in for your benefit and your glory? And so many times you would never, ever go that direction, but something crazy happened, and you're smart enough to realize that all that stuff that happened to me was for my good, to get me to where God wants me to be. Isn't that wild? You see how important it is to realize the leading of the Holy Spirit in your life? Realize it's important that when God says move, go immediately. I could tell you a story. I don't have time to do it this morning. I could tell you a story about the Lord leading me to, through a vision, to do crazy stuff. And when I got all the way down to Tucson, Arizona, when God gave me a vision, I went through all this stuff. When it was all done, I said to the Lord, what's up with this? This is crazy. And you know what God said to me? He said to me, I just wanted to see if you could listen to me. And then he told me something that changed my life forever. I was in Tucson, Arizona. Told me something that changed my life forever. He said, I just wanted to see if you could hear my voice and would listen to me. My sheep know my voice. And he said, if you know my voice, you'll recognize the wrong voice as well. And then he said something to me that changed my life forever. He said, do you remember the Sermon on the Mount? Do you talk to God like this? Do you listen to God like this? The Lord said to me, my heart, my spirit, said, you remember the Sermon on the Mount? I said, well, yeah, duh. Did you ever tell God, duh? This is the greatest sermon I ever heard. Matthew, I think it is, seeing the multitudes. He sat down, he opened his mouth, and he taught them, saying, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. He said, you remember that sermon? I said, well, yeah. He said to me, I didn't plan that sermon. I didn't plan that sermon. And that's the way you're going to live the rest of your life. I suppose you notice I didn't plan this one very well. I didn't plan that sermon. And I thought about that. I was flying this airplane. I was flying it back to my home church where I was pastoring in California. I flew that airplane across the desert, through a desert storm, sand windstorm. And I was thinking, I didn't plan that sermon. And the Lord said, that's the way I want you to live your life. I want you to be led by the Spirit. And everything you do, just put your hand in mine and you just be led by the Spirit immediately. Being led by the Spirit. And the interesting thing is, that's not just for two or three. That's for every born-again believer. It's a characteristic that belongs to each and every one of us. Put your hand in the hand of the man. The songwriter said to still the water, calm the sea, take a look at yourself. You will look at others differently when you put your hand in the hand of the man. I didn't plan that sermon. And so in Mark chapter 9, or chapter 1, verse 9, that brings me to my text so I can preach to you this morning. Take your Bible, Mark chapter 1. I'm going to give you just a few scriptures up to my text. Here's my scriptures, Mark 1, 9. At this time, Jesus came from Nazareth. Now here we see Jesus. Na, 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 na. Heard there was a revival, came down from Nazareth, walked from here to Bethany about 60 miles. Because he heard there was a revival down there, 30 years old. He felt a compelling. Like David, he said, I was glad when they said unto me, let's go to the house of the Lord. Because it's in the house of the Lord where we get our encouragement, we get lifted up. No wonder the Lord says, I'll give you the first day of the week. Huh? A day of rest, a Sabbath day. Remember it, keep it holy. Why? Because we come to the house of the Lord and we get blessed and we get touched and we get led by the Spirit. Jesus came from Nazareth and was listening to John the Baptist. Repent from your sins. And Jesus said, I want to be baptized. Jesus really didn't know he was the Messiah. He'd given up the throne. He'd given up his Godhead. He became man. His mother knew it. She pondered those things in her heart, the Bible says. Jesus didn't know it. And so Jesus is listening, a 30-year-old man, said, man, I want this. I want to be baptized. He went, the moment that Jesus came out of the water, he saw the sky split open and God's Spirit, looking like a dove, came down on him. Can you imagine John the Baptist shaking his head, saying, that's what God told me was going to happen. I thought that was crazy. And along with the Spirit, a voice said, you are my son, chosen and marked by my love, the pride of my life. Jesus is standing there shaking the water out of his ears. John the Baptist is standing there like the phenomenon of it all. The leading of God. The starting of a brand new dispensation. How marvelous is this? You see, when you're used to being led by the Spirit in the little things, you can begin to be led by the Spirit in bigger things. He said, to whom much is given, much is required. And if you're faithful in the little, I'll make you ruler over bigger. You really got a tiger by the tail. And you're going places and doing things that you've never heard of or dreamed of before. But God knows the plans he has to prosper you and take you where you need to go if you'll just recognize the leading of the Lord. It's the gift that comes with the Holy Spirit coming into your life when you bow in humble contrition before the Lord and are truly repentant of your old life, and you truly become a new creature in Christ, and old things pass away, and all things become new, and comes along with it this glorious divine presence of the Holy Spirit of God inside of you that wants to lead you and guide you and take you to places that you never dreamed you could ever get. Because it's God in you. Jesus heard that voice that said, you are my son in whom I'm well pleased. And my text for today is verse number 12. That says, immediately, the Holy Spirit led him out into the wilderness. Immediately, immediately, immediately. I don't know about you, but I want to be an immediately person. I want to hear the voice of God. I don't care how crazy it is. I don't care how difficult it may seem. I don't care how strange it is. I want to be led by the Spirit of God. Can you say amen? Well, my mother's favorite verse is Proverbs 3:5. It goes this way, trust in the Lord, I'll add, immediately. Lean not unto your own understanding, immediately. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths. And I want to close with a couple of portions of scripture from the Message Bible, Galatians chapter 5. Put it up there if you would. Give me a little music. I like to sing and preach at the same time. My counsel is this, Galatians 5. Live freely, animated, and motivated by God's Spirit. Then you won't feed the compulsions of selfishness. For there's a root of sinful self-interest in us that is at odds with a free spirit, just as the free spirit is incompatible with selfishness. These two ways of life are antithetical, complete opposites, so that you cannot live at times one way and other times another way, according to how you feel on any given day. Why don't you choose to be led by the Spirit and so escape the erratic compulsions of a law-dominated existence? You know what that really means is God says, I can keep you out of a lot of trouble and a lot of big messes if you just follow possible God. Go down to the next one. Since this is the kind of life we have chosen, the life of the Spirit, let us make sure that we do not just hold it in as an idea in our heads or a sentiment in our hearts, but work out its implications in every detail of our lives. Would you bow your heads with me? And you know what God is calling you to do? Follow Him. You know what God is calling you to do? Open up your heart. You know what God is calling you? Lay down your stress. Lay down your anxieties. Lay down your worries and your fears and your doubts. Come home to the leading of the Lord. Let not your heart be troubled. Just trust. Be led by me. This morning, as our heads are bowed, I want to pray a prayer together with you. Dear Jesus, we come home to your leading. Dear Jesus, we come home to casting our care on you. We come home, Jesus, to trust in the Lord with all of our hearts. We come home to open our eyes and our hearts to see the goodness of God and the glorious leading of the Holy Spirit of God. Father, we've run rampant so long, turning to the left and to the right. We've run rampant so long with the surfeiting and the cares of this world dominating our thinking and our steps. Anxiety at our doorstep, tearing us in pieces away from the cross. And you're saying softly and tenderly, come home. Let me lead you. Trust me and see. And so, Father, today I pray that every one of us in this building will learn how to follow you like you did when you came up out of the water. Immediately, you went to the wilderness. In Jesus' name, amen.